and welcome to the Spotlight on WFSI 88.5 Family Catholic Radio. We're switching gears now. My name is Father John Griggs, Rector of Shrine St. Max and Colby at Marytown, and I have with me Juliana Tamaruzzi of the Iraqi Christian
Relief Council,
and we're going to talk about the persecuted Christians in the Middle East and the power of the Rosary and what we can do spiritually connected to the promise of Our Lady and all of it in order to be able to fight this. We need to do so politically, quite obviously. I think evil sometimes needs to be fought militarily wise too to prevent it, but spirituality truly is a big benefit because we engage Our Lady and God Himself to be on our behalf. So, Juliana, you want to say a few words?
Of course. Thank you, Father John. It's an honor to be here addressing your listeners as time passes by, the urgency of people becoming aware of what is happening and also praying for this situation, and their prayer leading to action is becoming more imperative by the minute.
Yes, and it's very important that people have means of being able to know how to help, because when we face crises like your people are facing in Iraq and Syria, the ordinary person says, what can I do? What can I do as a solid? So having an organization like yours through which they can funnel is a very important thing. But also, they can engage in some powerful and potent prayer as well. And this is what we want to talk about today in a particular way.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Father. This has been on my heart for the last year. And when you and I spoke about a month ago, talking about prayer and the power of the Rosary for this cause, I was so happy to know that I'm going to be given an opportunity to address this openly, publicly, to the Catholic audience.
Yes, and actually how this came about is I picked up over Zenit something that happened in Nigeria. Bishop Dashi leads the Diocese of Maiduguri, and if you remember, it was in a diocese that Boko Haram, which has identified itself also with ISIS, kidnapped nearly 300 girls from school in Borno State. And one day he was praying, really asking the Lord what he could do, brokenhearted. And the Lord appeared to him. He had actually an apparition in which he handed him a beautiful, big, shining sword. And he invited him to take this. And when the bishop took it, it turned into the Rosary. And our Lord Jesus Christ said three times, Boko Haram is no more, Boko Haram is no more, Boko Haram is no more. And so he knew exactly the meaning of it. As he said later on, I didn't need a prophet to tell me what this means. It basically is an invitation from the Lord Jesus himself to turn to his mother, that she would effectively be able to destroy the scourge if people engage in Rosary Crusades. And so he immediately asked or ordered his parishes within his diocese to start Rosary Crusades. And within a short time, it began to be effective. In September 29, 2015, the cardinal from that region, Cardinal Onakeyekan, who is like the primate, basically declared that a number of Boko Haram camps were destroyed. A lot of the girls were found. And in fact, he also began to talk to some of the members of the Boko Haram individually and found out that they were just kids who were drafted, and some of them did not want to be involved in it. So I emailed this to Juliana. I said, Juliana, this is it. You need to start Rosary Crusades in your churches in the Middle East and here specifically against Boko Haram, because Our Lady can defeat this scourge. And this ties back into the Fatima message and what Our Lady told the seers of Fatima, that if the church itself would declare the third secret, and if they would promote devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, especially through the Rosary, that the evil of Russia, which is atheism, would cease and it would not fill the earth with its dangers. But if this was not acted upon, then those dangers would spread. Atheism would spread with all the immorality that comes with it, and the Holy Father and the bishops would have much to suffer. So when I was reflecting upon it, I saw two things. Number one is Genesis 3:15, where God says after the fall to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will crush your head while you strike only at their heel. And the second passage, I think, is the command that Jesus gave to Peter. When this is in Matthew 16:13-19, and I'll just read this. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and so on. But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, by my Father, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And in meditating upon this, I realized that this promise given to Peter is not just regarding the church, but it's regarding humanity in general. That somehow he has given his successor the power to be able to act on behalf of the entire world. Now connect this with Our Lady. Our Lady, where Jesus Christ crushes the head of Satan, but she needs to act through Peter, who's the successor of Jesus. And that's why the call of Fatima to have the Holy Father consecrate Russia together with all the bishops of the world, and Russia would be defeated. The Soviet, the atheistic part of it, would be called completely defeated. And we know that when the Holy Father did consecrate it, it's all a question whether the consecration was full or not when he made it in 85, but certainly it brought its fruit. It brought to the end to the Soviet Union without one shot being fired. And so I just became convinced that that's the key. And that's where I shared this with Juliana. I said, you gotta get your bishops to really start a Rosary Crusade, because they act in the person of Peter, and Our Lady is the one who crushes with Jesus, her son, Satan, but they need to work hand in hand in order for this victory to come about.
I agree, Father. In fact, if you recall, when these poor girls were kidnapped by Boko Haram, Hollywood and America started this hashtag bring our girls back, which fizzled away after literally a couple of days or a couple of weeks. Nothing happened. Nobody paid attention after that, and not one child was rescued. But it is only through her intercession, through the power of Rosary, that these cells had been discovered, destroyed, and some of these girls freed. So, and you know, the Assyrian Christians, also known as Chaldeans and Syriacs, have always believed in Mary and her powers and her intercession, intercessory prayers that, you know, that we ask for constantly. I will tell you, Father, in my own personal life, we were looking for the right smuggler to take me out of Iran in 1989. And we went through different smugglers. The first smuggler said that she has to be dressed in sheepskin and placed next to real sheep, being taken to Pakistan and then to India, and then we'll take her to my brother, who was in Germany. The second smuggler said that I'm going to marry her. I'm going to destroy all her Catholic papers, and I'll put the chador, the complete cover, on her, and then take her to Germany and give her back to her brother. And when my mother asked, are you going to guarantee that you're going to divorce my child? Because technically, she's going to be on paper a Muslim with a Muslim name and your wife. He said, well, you don't know that, do you? If I like her, I won't divorce her. So one day after Easter in 1989, my mother said, I got it. Suddenly, she exclaimed in the car. She said, we're going to pray and fast. We're going to pray the Rosary and we're going to fast. For 2 weeks, we did that. And right at the end of 2 weeks, there was the right smuggler that knocked on our door through my great aunt. And this is the reason why I'm here in the United States. So truly, we have my own family firsthand believes in Mary's power and in the power of the Rosary.
What a beautiful witness that is. And I think that we as Catholics, Christians, from whatever persuasion, we are different in many forms within our Catholic Church. But we need to rediscover the power of the Rosary and the power of Our Lady. I mean, just there are historical facts of how Our Lady has been involved You know, St. Francis de Sales, for example, brought thousands of Calvinists back to the church through private vow to pray the rosary for one full hour each day. St. John Vianney, the Curé of Ours, was convinced that it was the prayers of the rosary by the faithful that saved the faith of France during the terrible years of the French Revolution. Pope Pius V, on October 7, 1571, attributed his victory over the Turks to the prayers and the intercession of the rosary confraternities that he convened in Rome and entire Europe while the battle was actually going on. And I read a little bit more about that, and at a certain time he walked to the window of the Vatican and he said it had finished, they are victorious, without even hearing anything about it. And sure enough, the news then came in that they have been victorious. So he proclaimed that particular day to be the Feast of Our Lady of Victory, and within time it became known as the Feast of the Holy Rosary. And then connect that to Fatima, where she reveres herself as Our Lady of the Rosary and calls for the renewal of praying of the Rosary against the evils of our times, which came from Russia in 1917. The Bolshevik Revolution did not occur yet. The kids had no idea what that was, but she did. And what she said was actually true. The prayer would stop World War I, which was happening, and it did. At the same time, it would put an end to what the Soviet Union was propagating. That's a whole question of why it wasn't consecrated at the time. But that's another story. Mm-hmm. But we need to listen to what Our Lady says. She is very powerful, but she needs to act through the authority figures of the church. They need to realize themselves that they have to be united. Bishops and priests and pastors have to be united with Our Lady and invite the entire people to join in that, because they represent the promise of Jesus that was given to Peter and his successors.
So, Father, what would you suggest? How would you guide other pastors, other priests to lead their flock, lead their church family on this wonderful and most crucial journey?
Well, I would say that what the Christians are suffering in Iraq, Syria, just the Syrian church, is very crucial. And I think just because it doesn't happen here in our home front, well, it does, because we hear more and more terrorists, and so we are affected. But we need to really, it's our duty to pray for our brothers and sisters across the world. And I would think it would be a powerful thing for pastors who take this and to really to heart and to proclaim on Saturdays or every single week or once a month at something, a rosary specifically for peace in the world and maybe for the protection of the persecuted Christians in the Middle East and for the end of ISIS and Boko Haram and all those terrorist groups.
Yes,
Our
Father.
Lady is capable of doing it if we unite ourselves to pray.
Yes. I was listening to Fox News today, and as they were talking about these husband and wife who killed themselves yesterday and they killed 14 people, injured 17. As they were talking about ISIS being destroyed, I just couldn't help but laugh at them, because this is not only ISIS. If today ISIS is defeated, tomorrow another group is going to rise with a
Absolutely.
Different name. It was first Al-Qaeda, then it was Boko Haram, then it was Al-Nusra and the rest of them. So we have to defeat an ideology, or
right.
this ideology has to be defeated. And
right.
if we participate in its defeat, through whether it's through military, whether it's through schooling our children, because, for example, this young man, the Saudi man in out of San Bernardino, he was radicalized slowly.
Yes.
So what I would suggest to the masses who are listening to this, when you notice your neighbors, your friends changing, growing a beard, changing the way they dress, just distancing themselves from you, this is radicalization does not happen overnight. It's a process. So if you see something, say something. But talking about defeat of ISIS, it has to be the radical Islamists that have to be
right.
defeated. And I think through the power of rosary, also we have to pray for those good Muslims that are not brave enough to stick their neck out, that are not brave enough to come out of the darkness, to join forces with us Christians and the Jews to fight this terrible diabolic ideology.
Yes, I believe so, because it is ideological, and ultimately, if this is not what Islam is, then the representative of Islam must clarify this and must fight this on their own. They have to have the courage to be able to stand up. There are a few, but not enough, unfortunately, to be able to do so. But the spiritual connection is, I think, connected to the fact of what St. Paul says, that you're not just eating with powers in this world, but you're dealing with principalities heavenly, and behind this is Satan himself, and she's the one who crushes the head of Satan. And so that's the ideology can be fed by the devil as well, deep within, through this propagation of ideology, and this is where Our Lady can fight on our behalf.
Indeed, indeed. So before we go to, I think we're taking a commercial break. Before we go on, please encourage each other to start a prayer group, a rosary group, to pray for the persecuted church.
Yes.
Hi, this is Leo Konkwo. I am the vice president and the founder of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life. In the spirit of self-emptying, Jesus, our God, became man when he entered into the world of fallen human nature, the world of human nature in need of love, of healing, of deliverance, of care. That is, HEAL, in the same token, enters into Africa, into Nigeria, into the bosom, the condition of the poor and the marginalized in Nigeria, in our home school. Help HEAL uplift those least of Jesus' brothers and sisters. Visit us at healnigeria.org. Donate and sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disaster, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen.
Hello, everybody. We're back on WFSI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. My name is Father John Griegas, Rector of the Shrine of St. Maximin Kolbe at Marytown, Libertyville, Illinois. And I have Juliana here. We're talking about the persecuted Christian in the Middle East. Juliana, you want to introduce yourself and your organization again?
Sure. I'm Juliana Taymorazi, and I'm the founder and the president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. I also work for another Christian organization called the Philos Project, which promotes positive Christian engagement in the matters of the Middle East.
So maybe you have some questions that you'd like to, or maybe some discussion to engage in. We invite you to call 224-585-9734. Quite obviously, we are hearing so much about Islamic terrorism today. San Bernardino was another example, apparently, from the latest inclusion of another cell breaking out. So it is truly an epidemic, and our brothers and sisters in the Middle East are really, really suffering through this. And Juliana and her people really need your help. They need your help financially. They need your help spiritually. And we need to really engage, as we've been saying, in seeking the intercession of Our Ladies. And somehow this needs to be combined with us, to our pastors, with bishops, because of the authority that Jesus gave to Peter. That I give you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. In reflecting upon this, I began to realize that this doesn't refer just to the church, but refers to the whole earth. The successor of Jesus has been given power over the earth, but that power is especially communicated through Our Lady, who was given the grace to crush the head of Satan with Jesus, her son.
Father, I think we have a caller on the line.
Okay, please.
Hello, caller.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm listening to your discussion, and my question is to Ms. Juliana Tamarazzi. How do I, or you know, how do I reach you, or what can we do as you know, an individual or as a group of church members that could help you with your mission?
Thank you for that wonderful question. If you want to reach us, you can visit us at IraqiChristianRelief.org. Our website is IraqiChristianRelief.org. We're located here in Illinois. And so individually, if you'd like to participate in this, there are many ways that you can do that. You can pray for us. You can, if you're fasting, especially now during Advent, please pray, fast, and offer your penance and your suffering for the persecuted church. Right now, actually, we're trying to raise $100,000 for Christians of Syria and Iraq. The need is growing by the minute, my friends, my fellow Catholics, and we actively partake in getting involved with these people's lives, and we're raising this $100,000 to ease the suffering during the winter times. Winters are harsh in northern Iraq and in Syria, and last year, for example, people lived through the winters in tents. Some of them still remained outside even, and some lived inside in church halls and schools. This year, those tents are falling apart, and they're not being replaced, majority of them. So this is where we come in to do some heavy lifting for them. As a church family, as we've been talking with Father John, you can really start rosary groups that you specifically pray for the persecuted church. As we know, Our Lady is very powerful, and we have to really ask for her intercession. But also, if you want us to come in and make presentations for you and really paint a human face on this tragedy, we can do that. I travel throughout the country. I'm really home in Illinois maybe one day a week if I'm lucky. I'm gone for weeks, and I present in different churches and different synagogues, and I bring images and stories and testimonies of the situation. So if you want to get involved, there are many, many ways that you can do this. IraqiChristianRelief.org is our website.
And Juliana has been in Marytown, and we've had about 250 people, and her presentation was extremely powerful because you almost are taken back to the people who suffer this, and they have a chance to experience the evils that and the needs that are present there. And one of the wonderful things about Juliana's organization is how she offers the money. There are some agencies that don't give directly all the funds, but Juliana has a way to deliver those funds to those who really need it. And maybe you want to talk about that.
I'll be happy to. In fact, today there's a Catholic brother who called from Baltimore, and he requested this information because they're starting an effort to support our work in Baltimore. The way we hold those organizations on the ground accountable is we ask them for people's names, how they've been helped, and their contact information if they have a cell phone. If they don't have a cell phone number, we ask for the camp ID. So the reports that we receive from Jordan, from Lebanon, and from northern Iraq is in this fashion. We receive an Excel spreadsheet with the head of the household's name, how many people per family, and how much money has been given to them, and where they live, and a cell phone number. And majority of these people have cell phones. And we've called before, and we've confirmed that the aid that has actually reached these people. For example, because I'm from that region, because my treasurer and other board members that we have are from that region, we all have contacts on the ground, so we're able to vet whether the aid gets there or not. And I'm very blessed, truly, I'm very blessed to say that last year we were able to send 94% of the money that we received for programs in Iraq. And this year we're in Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon, as I said earlier. We help the Sisters of St. Catherine of Siena, Dominican Order. There are 13 nuns, my fellow Catholics, that are displaced themselves, Father. They're taking care of 60,000 people, 13 nuns. So we support them greatly. They're in areas of northern Iraq, where today is called Kurdistan. We help the Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq and some other aid organizations also. In Jordan, we work with a Catholic priest there who's housing 30 Assyrian Christians from Iraq and 10 from Syria. In Jordan, for example, I was in Jordan in August. I saw the devastation myself with my own eyes. Today or next week, I'm going back there again, bringing some aid myself with me. And in return, I bring this report back. So you see people's faces. We receive phone, we receive images, we receive videos. So really, if someone really is interested in helping an organization that truly is connected on the ground, then they don't need to look any further. IraqiChristianRelief.org.
What is so beautiful is that for me as a priest to see that most of the powerful things that are happening in the church and world today are not happening through governments. Governments are just messed up, quite obviously, and very self-interested. You know, our bishops issue decrees, but they only go so far. But the powerful work is really being done by ordinary Catholic Christians like Juliana. I mean, she had her own life, and God called her to it, and ended up to be a whole sacrifice of her life for her brothers and sisters, and the Lord is calling her in a very powerful way to do this. And so for you as Catholic laity to join with her, mobilize that, is to enter into this powerful work of offering help to our brothers and sisters, financially wise as well as prayer wise. But maybe you can talk about, describe for our people, you know, some of the atrocities that you've witnessed yourself that have happened to your people.
My God, the list is so long. I'll give you one example. There's a couple, a husband and wife. There were a couple, a husband and wife, whose wife had cancer. And this is right as soon as ISIS attacked Mosul, which is, by the way, a former Nineveh, where Jonah was buried. Mm-hmm. And as people were fleeing, this woman went to the hospital to seek chemo for her breast cancer. And the doctors in the hospital that used to administer the chemotherapy to her said to her that we cannot do this unless you convert to Islam. She turned away and she left to northern Iraq and she died. So the husband said, I'd rather watch my wife die than both of us renounce Christ. Wow. This is the type of faith that these people have. These are the Assyrians, also known as Chaldeans and Syriacs, that we were the first people to convert to Christianity through St. Thomas the Apostle in the first century AD. And I think we have a caller, Father. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. You're welcome. And thank you for all you've done. I myself, firsthand, I witnessed the events in the fall apart of the ex-Yugoslav Republic in Bosnia-Herzegovina and what radical Muslims are able to do to Christians in the name of God. I also want to mention briefly, in part of my question, today's news headline was in regards to the shooting in San Bernardino, and some paper put out on their headline, oh, like, what can God do? Almost like a spoof, like, you people that are praying are wasting your time. And I know firsthand, you yourself mentioned praying and fasting. Our Lady says wars can be averted. Why can't we pray and fast more? And also, if we're doing this as a community and begging God for graces in the conversion of the world, is this not the answer to all the problems? Because does this not begin from where Muslims and the Turks and it's just gone on and on, and it comes and goes in waves, and now we're on this peak, and it's in society, and it's overwhelming. So can you encourage us to pray more?
Absolutely. Father, if I may take this and then I'll give this right back to you. The Sisters of St. Catherine tell me that the persecution has brought people even closer to Jesus. And they are receiving the Eucharist inside these tents. They say now they have 4 to 5 masses daily, whereas before it wasn't like that. So absolutely, as we watch these people being killed and displaced because of Jesus, we have to take heart that we have such religious freedom here, such privilege here, that we can go to Mass, still we can go to Mass without being afraid of being blown up so far, thus far, thank God. But we just have to look across the pond and see how their faith is getting stronger, and we have to take heart in that as well. And going back to what you said about that headline, do you notice that there isn't anybody in the news attacking Muslims who pray? It is an assault against Christianity. It is Christians who pray to their Christian God, and then we're considered as radicals. We're number one public enemy, as you've seen on some websites, being called that we're number one enemy, public enemy, because we're Christians. And who would dare say something like that towards a Muslim when they're praying? This being politically correct is really the demise of the United States, I believe.
Yes, I really believe that is really the case. Jesus said that you will be persecuted, but I can understand. I myself was born in Poland, was a child during the communist regime, and it is true, when you had to live your faith, your Catholic Christian faith, under persecution, there was even a sense of joy inside, because it cost. And you had to do it at that cost. And the cost is self-giving of ourselves to God. And I believe that we receive the grace of God, His life. And that's why the first Christians, when they were persecuted in Rome, they actually sang and joyfully went before the lions and the animals and crucifixion, because God gave them joy inside. It's not to condone this. It's not to say that it needs to continue. No, we don't want that to continue. But it is to say that God is still present in the suffering church, in the sense He continues to suffer with them, to be crucified with them, and so God gives them life, while we at the same time need to help them in whatever way we can. But regarding the last caller call and the need for prayer, I'd just like to quote Sister Lucia of Fatima and what she said in 1957. Concerning the rosary, and I'm quoting it again, and this was said to her to Father Fuentes, who was in charge of the canonization process of the other two seers. She says, "The Most Holy Virgin, in these last times in which we live, has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there's no problem, no matter how difficult it is, temporal or especially spiritual, in the life of each one of us, of our families, of the families of the world, or of the religious communities, or even of the life of peoples and nations that cannot be solved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. With the Holy Rosary, we will save ourselves. We will sanctify ourselves. We will console Our Lady and obtain a salvation of many souls."
Before we go on, I just want to encourage you guys to give us a call. Please let us know that you hear us. Please let us know that this is important. And the way you can show us right now, me and Father John here, is by you calling us and giving us courage that yes, there are people out there that their hearts beat for this cause and that you want to be involved. So please give us a call. We're waiting for your call.
Again, the phone number here at WSFI is 224-585-9734. 224-585-9734.
Hi, this is Leo Konkwo. I am the Vice President and the founder of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life. In the spirit of self-emptying, Jesus, our God, became man when He entered into the world of fallen human nature, the world of human nature in need of love, of healing, of deliverance, of care. That is, HEAL, in the same token, enters into Africa, into Nigeria, into the bosom, the condition of the poor and the marginalized in Nigeria, in our home school. Help HEAL uplift those least of Jesus' brothers and sisters. Visit us at healnigeria.org. Donate and sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disaster, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen.
Welcome back to WFSFI 88.5, Family Catholic Radio. And we're on the spotlight talking about the persecuted Assyrian Christians. And with me is Juliana. Juliana.
Hello to all my Catholic friends. It's an honor to be here. And thank you so much for the callers that have called so far. But we're really waiting to hear from you.
224-585-9734. Any comments that you have or experiences to share or prayers answered, or if somebody is part of the Assyrian church and you have relatives there and you want to share some things, please come, go ahead and call us.
And you know, Father, during the break, I was talking about this Arabic letter N that we have on our stickers. My friends, Arabic letter N that has been painted on Christian doors represents Nazarene, which means we as Christians, whether we're Middle Easterners or not, to Arabs we're Nazarenes because we follow Jesus of Nazareth. So many of you might have seen the Arabic letter N in yellow or in red on people's social media accounts. So we have some of these stickers, and I was speaking in Dallas and Wiley just last weekend. So I passed these out. Quite a few people picked them up. It was a mega church. Today I received a call from this young lady. She said, I just want you to know, less than 24 hours since I had put this sticker on my car, somebody came and literally scratched the word Nazarene off of the sticker and tried to peel it off. And then the next day, there was a white van with a Muslim woman sitting there just staring at my house. So we've been watched ever since they put the sticker on her car. This fear-mongering, this bullying that we're experiencing is just shocking to me. I came to this country because, to me, it's a Christian country, and we have religious freedom and freedom of speech. And yet, this fear tactic that has been placed, that is being used, and we're afraid, and this woman said, I don't want to take it off. I don't want to live on my knees. But and I suggested to her, I said, but you have young kids, and I feel terrible for her. I said, you alone cannot combat this. Unless your whole town or unless your whole street puts these stickers on their cars, I said, I suggest you removing it or cover it. Father, I think we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what can we do for you? Please share your thoughts with us.
My question is, are there any Iraqi or Syrian martyrs that we can pray to for intercession?
Oh, there's so many. We've had so many martyrs. Absolutely. One of them is the Archbishop of Mosul, Archbishop Faraj Raho, F-A-R-A-J, Faraj Raho, R-A-H-O, or Father Ghani, G-A-N-N-I. They both were murdered not long ago, just a few years ago. The Archbishop Faraj Raho was poisoned by acid through his nostrils. And his body was found on the side of the road on March 13th of 2008. and Father Ghani. They shot him first in his hands as he brought his hands up to in a form of surrender. They shot his hands first, so he won't be able to do the act of the cross again. And then they riddled his body with 15 more bullets, and that was done in 2007. And the reason we know of this eyewitness is because one of his deacons, his wife, was with them, and as her husband, two other deacons, and Father Ghani were shot, she was let go so she can bear witness. So those are the two that come to my mind.
Yeah, and I really believe that there's going to be a lot of saints, martyrs that will come from the Assyrian Church in the future because of the heroism that people have witnessed to the Catholic Christian faith. You know, but St. Maximin Kolbe himself said to his, and I remember reading about this, he said to his friars that don't think that the saints that you pray to are only the canonized saints. He says that some saints or some people who are in heaven actually have a greater power, a greater holiness than even a canonized saint, that you don't hear about that because they didn't, in their humility, allow themselves to be heard about. But people who've been martyred, people who've died, who've really witnessed, can be prayed to for protection, for help. Even the souls in purgatory are extremely powerful. Some saints have said that they are even more powerful than the saints in heaven because they can offer their sufferings for our intentions as well. So it is very important to be able to do so.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. And these two priests that were martyred, they were from the Chaldean Catholic faith.
Yes.
One more question, Father. Could yes. you link with this Rosary Crusade, could you link that to the visions of St. John Bosco being anchored to the two pillars? And
oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics. I forget if it was 1878, whatever. St. John Bosco had a number of visions, but one of the visions was regarding the two pillars, in which he saw the church in the next century, which is this past century, and it continues on, as a stately ship heading through very turbulent waters, gust of winds, and at the same time there were other ships that were attacking it through incendiary bombs, through leaflets, through all kinds of ways, and the Holy Father was standing at the top with other cardinals and bishops, and they were making headway in the midst of the storm in order to dock themselves to the two pillars. And the two pillars, the larger pillar had the Eucharist on top of it, and the lesser pillar had Our Lady as the help of Christians. And the whole goal of the church was to dock itself towards those two pillars, meaning the two devotions, especially to the Sacred Eucharist, you know, which of course includes faithful attending at Mass, being part of Eucharistic adoration, and to Our Lady seeking her intercession, especially to the Rosary. And after that was docked and all the other ships along with the stately ship were docked, then an era of peace ensured. And so this was fully accepted by the church as a prophetic dream, and the whole prophetic aspect of it is that the church needs to dock itself especially towards solid worship of our Lord Jesus Christ and Eucharist, and also to devotion to Our Lady, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, especially praying through the Rosary, and from that will come an era of peace. So thank you for mentioning that. It's very important, one of my favorite topics.
We would love to hear more from you. You've heard our side, you've heard our encouragement to start rosary groups as much as possible, as far as possible. In fact, to be honest, Father, I tried to reach the Vatican twice through some connections that I've had. I really hope and I really pray that at some point Holy Father would issue a decree worldwide for Catholics to start praying the rosary for the persecuted church. I haven't heard any response back, but I'm grateful that we're given this opportunity through WSFI to at least, you know, like Mother Teresa said, don't wait for the leadership. Do right. it one person at a time.
Right. It's difficult sometimes to get through because of the level of business the Holy Father has, and sometimes there are some political stakes and who knows? But as I've encouraged Juliana, get in contact with your local bishops, the metropolitan bishops in the Middle East and here. Every bishop has apostolic authority. Every bishop and a pastor of a parish is part of that promise that Jesus gave to Peter of binding of the keys. And so it's very important to be able to begin And as a priest, I really would encourage you also to financially support Juliana and her organizations. I know there are people listening who could write a check out for $10,000, $20,000 very easily. Maybe God is putting it upon your heart right now. Juliana, would you want to give them the address again?
Yes, absolutely. Our website is IraqiChristianRelief.org, IraqiChristianRelief.org. And we really, really are asking you to become partners with us and help us raise this $100,000, because Christianity is suffering greatly in the name of Christ, and now during the winter times. Let us bring hope for Christmas to the hearts and minds of these people.
And actually, you know, that persecuted church in the Middle East, and those are apostolic churches. Those are churches founded by the apostles themselves. And we know that no matter how they are suffering, somehow God's going to bring forth the victory, because the blood of martyrs is extremely precious and very powerful too against the evil one. So we don't want that to occur, but at the same time, it doesn't need to allow us to be hopeless, because the church has survived all these ages, and the Lord said that the gates of hell will not prevail, and ISIS will not prevail with the gates of hell over this too.
Amen, Father. Thank you for that. And I think we should take a break at this time. And when we come back, we look forward to hearing from you again.
This is Leo Konkwo. I am the Vice President and the founder of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life. In the spirit of self-emptying, Jesus, our God, became man when he entered into the world. The world of fallen human nature, the world of human nature in need of love, of healing, of deliverance, of care. That is, HEAL, in the same token, enters into Africa, into Nigeria, into the bosom, the condition of the poor and the marginalized in Nigeria, in our home school. Help HEAL uplift those least of Jesus's brothers and sisters. Visit us at healnigeria.org. Donate and sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disaster, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, wishing all of you a very blessed Advent season. Holy Family has a great selection of Advent wreaths, calendars, and devotionals to help you prepare for the coming of the Lord. And this Christmas, why not consider a gift of faith for your friends and loved ones? Whether you are shopping for a child or adult, Holy Family has the perfect gift. From cradle medals to clinging crosses, baby Bibles to study Bibles, sacred jewelry to sacred art, Holy Family has it all. For 22 years, the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore has served as a resource for the faithful in Northeast Illinois and Southeast Wisconsin. Let us help you give the gift of faith. Our historic 164-year-old building is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, just 2 miles north of the state line. More information is available on Facebook.
Hi, this is Father Paul White from Holy Apostles in McHenry, Illinois. We are very excited, Holy Apostles, about the new WSFI radio station, because it gives us an opportunity to do what the Pope calls us to do, to new evangelization and bring the Word of God to those who might not be able to get out to church. So we look forward to everyone in McHenry and Lake County taking advantage of this opportunity to listen to WSFI.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIRadio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hi, welcome back to WFSI, WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio with the spotlight, and we're talking about Iraqi persecution. My name is Father John Grigas, Rector of Marytown. In Libertyville, Illinois, I have Juliana Tamaruzzi of the Iraqi Persecuted Christian Relief. And Juliana, it's always interesting how a young woman like you got involved in this. I mean, you probably had your own life and your own career, and here the Lord just kind of drags you in and gives you something else.
It's amazing. My graduate degree is in completely different field. I used to design training programs for engineers on different computer applications, but I've always been very close to the Assyrian cause. I come from a lineage of activists. But when 2003 war erupted and Assyrian Christians started being persecuted so heavily in Iraq, I started informally volunteering for Catholic charities where I would mentor young women that would come, whether their husbands were killed by ISIS or by Al-Qaeda at the time, or they were single. I would mentor them and connect them to good churches. And then in 2007, I used to belong to the Archdiocese of Chicago Holy Name Cathedral. And I saw Cardinal George. I literally, Father John, ran into him in the courtyard. And I walked up to him and I said, Cardinal, what is the Catholic Church doing to help the persecuted church in Iraq? And to my awe, he says, why don't you give me your number, give your number to our chancellor and your email address, and we'll contact you. I walked away crying, saying, how is a cardinal going to call me? This was probably an empty promise. I'm nothing. He's never going to call me. Believe me, Father, the next day, Chancellor Legault contacted me and said, I wasn't privy to your discussions. Please let me know what we can do for you. I went in for a meeting, and on July 22nd, 2007, I was told I should start this ministry. I walked away, called my mother, and I said, they're asking me to do this. She said, please don't do it. You're going to get killed. I said, you're not a help. You're not help to me. So I hung up and I wrote a letter. Yes, I wrote a letter to God, Father. And I said, Lord, you lead me on the right path. You lead the right people to me because I'm doing this for your greater glory. And 8.5 years later, Father, every time I meet somebody who lends a dollar, gives a dollar to my organization or opens a door to me, I remember that prayer. I've been truly blessed. It's the Holy Spirit that has led us to this. But I think we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Tom.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead, my dear.
Hi, there's some music in the background.
Oh, sorry about that, but we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Tom. I'm just calling in for the first time.
Hi, Tom. And how are you?
We know you, Tom.
Hi, good. Hi, Father John. And hi, Juliana.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
You both sound very clear. And, of course, your topic is so important. I couldn't help but think that today's feast day is St. Francis Xavier.
Yes, missionary.
The great Jesuit who was given that vocation by our Lord, and who's very close to St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, of course. But look what he did. You know, they say that he baptized over 30,000 people in Japan. I mean, think about the fire in his gut and his great love of our Lord and the Church. And, you know, I couldn't help but listen to the two of you, and we're talking about a contemporary issue of Christians being martyred over in the Middle East. And, Juliana, you were born over there, and you have firsthand knowledge of what's going on, and you continue to have these threads of contact with various people, with both the organization that you belong to and other people that you know. And I know that you're out and running around everywhere trying to alert and wake people up to the plight and and this disgusting behavior of what's going on over there. But I think that this forum that you have, WSFI Catholic Radio, which extends, you know, in Northern Lake and Eastern McHenry counties and goes all the way up to Milwaukee and Wisconsin, I hope that there are many listeners up there that have you tuned in to 88.5 and are aware of the work that you're trying to do, and so that somehow or another, prayers certainly, fasting absolutely, but as you pointed out earlier, Juliana, there are material needs that these people need, and these Dominican nuns are helping out.
Yes.
And some other people that you have, and I think you mentioned that you recently was given some money to help put together some traders, a half a dozen or a dozen traders for people for the winter over in one of those countries. So there are material needs, and people who are listening, perhaps if they could send an extra dollar or two to where you direct them. I mean,
what a wonderful time to give, Christmas season.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And Tom, thank you for that. You're absolutely right. Thank you for your call, and you're indeed correct. We need prayers, but our prayers must lead into action. And material needs are very important. But the basis of our show today is also encouraging people to pray the rosary. As I said earlier today, I was smuggled out with the right person because of the rosary and our fasting for 2 weeks, my family and I. So I would encourage you to, all of you, to at least dedicate a decade, at least dedicate whatever you can, whatever prayer you can, to the persecuted church.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And please support WSFI, everybody, because without WSFI, truly, I would not have had this platform, and Father John and I would not have been brought together. So it's important to support WSFI as well.
It's wonderful organizations. Marathon as well.
Absolutely. God bless you, Father,
Thank you.
And everybody at WSFI. And God bless every one of you who will partake in this mission. Thank you.
Maybe we can end by just saying a prayer, especially for our persecuted brothers and sisters in the Middle East, and for all those who have died in San Bernardino, and as well as for those who are perpetrators of this abuse. You know, as Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And perhaps as they are brainwashed from childhood, they also are ignorant. They don't know of the evil. And so we need to pray for that conversion. So to Jesus, we ask that you may send the power of the Holy Spirit upon all involved, upon our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Iraq, and give them grace and strength. Give them safety. Protect them. Give them peace and give them joy, and bring an end to this terrorism. We pray that you may change the hearts and minds of those who cause terror, especially for those who are adult imams who are preaching this word of terrorism to the young people and are corrupting their minds and their hearts. We ask that you put an end to it and bring conversion to them. Awaken the souls that are involved in spreading this type of fear and terror, so that they may change and that they may be converted to you and be apostles of peace, as you have done with St. Paul when you knocked him off the horse. We believe you can do that with everyone. And so we pray as a united force, believing in your presence and the intercession of Our Lady. And I'm going to ask Juliana to pray the Hail Mary in Aramaic. That's the original language of Jesus and Mary.
Father, I cannot believe you read my mind. I was going to ask you for that permission. שמת בבא ברונה ורוחת חודשה אמין, שלמה לך ימת מריאם, מליטה ושפחת, מרון אמחילה, ברכתה ודגיו בכתעצה, ברכתה לתנתת כיסך אישו, מת מריאם ימת עלה, סלם גי בדיין חטאיה, מן עדיה הלדון מותן, אמין. שמת בבא ברונה ורוחת חודשה.
May the blessings of Almighty God be upon you and be upon all of us, and move us to continue to respond to the grace of the Holy Spirit, because he can use us powerfully if we can sense his direction and be obedient to him. Let us be so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in to WFSI 88.5. Remember, we're on 24 hours, 7 days a week, so tune us on always.
This has been a special episode of WSFI Spotlight on WSFI Antioch, 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. We now return you to regularly scheduled programming.